smile and even bigger personality. Raiders wide receiver Antonio Brown is all about making big plays.
Let's it fly. Oh, Antonio Brown! Touchdown!
Throwing end zone. Antonio Brown, spectacular catch!
This is my DNA. You know, everything you do, you want to do your best. No matter what you've done or what you did, it's all about the moment of what's in front of you and just maximizing opportunity and doing things how they need to be done, the best way I can do it.
Since being drafted by the Steelers in 2010, the sixth-round pick has become a household name.
Antonio Brown!
Tallying more receptions and receiving yards than any other player in the NFL.
AB is one of the hardest workers in the NFL, one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. Every route is 100%. He doesn't like to jog through anything. He just likes to go full speed and make a game-like rep, and that's why he's been successful.
He go hard anytime he's out there, man. You know, I think that's his biggest thing is the work he puts in, all the stuff he does outside the field.
Four, five, last one. That's it.
One of the offseason's biggest questions has been answered. That's Antonio Brown's next team.
I'm excited to be here, man. I'm extremely grateful, and I'm looking to get things started.
Hey, B, welcome to Oakland, baby!
How you doing, Mr. Mayock? Good to see you, man. Thanks for the opportunity.
Dude, you look good in black.
I feel good, man.
This is awesome.
Did you make it in?
I made it in. Coach, what up, baby? How you doing, Coach?
Love you, brother.
Good to see you,
good
man.
Before I answer any questions, Gabe Jackson is the only guy that is out for the game. J.J. Nelson, Nick Morrow are questionable. And who's the other guy?
Corey Legion
is also questionable. So those would be game time decisions. But I'll answer any questions that I can.
John, what changed between yesterday and this morning with Antonio?
You know, we just have exhausted everything. We tried every way possible to make it work. And all I'm going to say is, you know, it's disappointing. I'm really proud of our players, our coaches, our owner, our front office. We did everything we could to make this work. And you know, I'm sorry it didn't. I apologize, but I will tell you I am very proud of what we did as an organization to try. And I wish Antonio nothing but the best. And I'm sorry that we never got a chance to see him in silver and black. Very disappointing in my career as a coach. I really look forward to coaching him, but it's not going to happen. I'm not going to sit here and talk about it all day. We got 12 rookies. We got a lot to be excited about. And I wish Antonio the very best.
Coming to you live-ish from the beautiful rolling hills of the Eastern Townships, you've tuned into 88.9 CJMQ. This is your host, Matt McCray, and this is The Show. That very kind of ticked off, annoyed voice you just heard was that of Oakland Raiders coach John Gruden assessing and addressing the situation of one Mr. Antonio Brown, the ever-changing saga that has been going on. He is now a New England Patriot. We discussed that on yesterday's show. It's been a topic of conversation since it transpired over the weekend. People are saying now it was all self-sabotage. He implemented and talked to sources on how he could get out of Oakland as quick as possible in order to go to a contender. Maybe he was wiser and craftier and Bob Kraft, I get it, than we all gave him credit for. But I mean, when you cryogenically frostbite the bottom of your feet, you don't really get a lot of credit for being this mind game, mind hunter kind of superior of superior intellect. But that was big news over the weekend. The rich just keep getting richer as the New England Patriots will have Antonio Brown in uniform in their next game coming up. He was not in uniform Sunday night against the Steelers. Guys, it's Wednesday morning of week one. Monday night football's transpired. All the football overreaction after week one. Some teams are slated to win the Super Bowl. Teams that came out like the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Vikings. Teams were really bad. Miami Dolphins. We'll get to all of that. We'll get to week one of the NFL. We're going to talk U.S. Men's Open. Rafa Nadal. Medvedev put up a hell of a fight. One heck of a fight in Flushing Meadows. We talked a lot about Bianca Andreescu. So we won't really address too much of her today. Just another big congratulations for that win versus Serena Williams. Today's going to be a lot about football and some baseball. We're going to talk some MLB rookies. who's heating up, who's coming in as the next big thing on their squads. We're going to talk Indianapolis Colts. We will talk some more AB and how he's going to fit in. And the talk of the town is actually his cousin, Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown, who just took the top off the defense, as they say, and just made the Baltimore Ravens look borderline unstoppable. Of course, their quarterback coming out and saying not too bad of a performance for a running back, just kind of making some people eat their words. We're going to talk some Rugby World Cup, which is coming up September 20th until November the 2nd, live from Japan in 2019. So we're going to talk some New Zealand rugby. We're going to talk all kinds of fun things here today on the show. Thank you for tuning in, 88.9 CJMQ. Well, we're going to jump to our first clip just before we talk number one. Well, spoiler alert. Number one, what's wrong in Cleveland? We're gonna go straight to Cleveland, and I'm going to play you the press conference of Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr.
No, it's extremely difficult. You know, anytime you get something going, you shoot yourself in the foot. That was our big problem today, not being able to build on positive plays. And, you know, like I preached last week, was we trying to eliminate the negative ones, and that's exactly the opposite of what we did today, and that falls back on me. So we're going to look at the tape. And, you know, like Freddie said, evaluate the problem. I think we know it. It's within ourselves. You know, they're a great football team, and anytime you hurt yourself, you're not going to win.
How difficult will it be to fix these problems, Baker?
With the men in our locker room, not difficult. We'll address it, we'll get it fixed, and we'll move forward.
Baker, how disappointing is it with all the excitement that was coming into this first game, with all the off-season excitement that you guys had, to go out there and to lose the way you guys did today?
Loss is always disappointing. I don't really care what's going on the outside. We lost and we expected to win.
Baker, it looked like you got dinged a little bit on the Wake sack. Were you okay after that?
Yeah, I'll be all right.
Baker, how difficult is it when you have the moving pieces across the offensive line like you had once Greg got out of there and then Kendall to kind of do what you want to do offensively?
You know, I thought for our guys coming in there, and some of them not expecting to play. Obviously, Hub's not expecting to play on the left side. I thought they played well. You know, being thrown into there and just being able to do their job. Obviously, we got to be better early on, and would, you know, like to have Greg in there if it comes down to it. But the guys that stepped up, we're gonna watch the tape and see how well they did.
They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
What is it for you guys to maintain that offensive flow once you score that first touchdown?
I don't really know how to answer that. Just penalties, killing ourselves. Not to say they didn't do a good job, but we beat ourselves a lot today. And you just, hats off, go to them.
You've been in a game with this many penalties before on one side?
To be honest, I don't even know how many there was, but I remember looking up at one point and it was just like, you know, you're not going to win many games starting off first and 20, first and 30. Getting a big play and then it's called back, you know. So we just got to be more disciplined. You know, it's the first game. Whether we lost by 1 point or 40 points, it still says an L on the record. So there's nothing to panic about. Adversity has to come at some point in the season. Why not be right now?
How was Baker with you guys when things weren't going as well as you wanted?
He was good. I think from Baker this year, you'll see a lot of growth and maturity. You know, he's the captain of this team now. This is, and he's going to lead us. And we have other guys who have to step up and lead as well. So he never got down. He never got out of himself. He just stick to the plan and, you know, tried to make plays when he could.
How long will it take if you've not already to shake this off?
Man, it's got to go. You know, you got to focus on the Jets. But, you know, they say you give yourself a 24-hour rule. You just got to let this one go. That's really it. Can't get it back. Can't change the outcome. So you just gotta let it go. That's.
And we're back. What a bunch of grumpy Gusses. What got them in such a bad mood? Oh, right, losing at home to the Tennessee Titans and Vrabel and Marcus Mariota at quarterback. Ooh, don't panic, guys. It's week one. So that's number one. What's wrong in Cleveland? Yes, they did blow it. They came right out. They scored a touchdown early. Everything was rolling. And then they got a little excited. Penalties, ejections. Penalties was number one. I haven't seen so many penalties in a game. Just undisciplined hands to the face. You heard it there. Odell Beckham Jr. was talking about it. You're not going to win many football games taking that many penalties, going first and 20, first and 30, just getting big 23-yard plays, getting called back because of something silly, like somebody moving at the line, or just unfortunate. Do not panic. Everything, all is well in Cleveland. But they will have to get it together early. Like I said, Baker Mayfield, he seems like he's focused. And Odell Beckham Jr. is healthy. That's the main thing for them to move forward. Number two. Speaking of moving forward, the Kansas City Chiefs, are they the real deal? Yes or no? Yes, of course. Mahomes is who we thought they were, to use an old football saying, we should say. Ravens looked great. I mean, they were playing the Miami Dolphins. Let's not get too excited. But their quarterback, Mr. Jackson, Action Jackson, threw for 5 touchdowns. That's the first time it's happened since Peyton Manning was a Bronco. He made a lot of critics eat their words, saying not bad for a running back. Let's not get too excited. But of course, Antonio Brown's cousin, Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, just looked spectacular for them. So everyone is going in and trying to pick him up in fantasy football, I'm sure. But it's week one. Let's not get too excited. But some of the favorites came out and looked like favorites. The Cowboys looked really good. So let's not get too excited. But if your team is one of those front runners that came out, good on them. Let's hope they keep their focus. If your team is one of those 0-1 teams, let's hope they can get that ship turned around. And win week two, you don't want to fall to that dreaded 0-2 start. Number three, U.S. Men's Open winner, Rafa Nadal. Yeah, Medvedev put up a heck of a fight. I watched that match over the weekend. Nadal just won the first set and the second set. Medvedev fought back hard, threw a tiebreaker to win the third, really put up a good fight. The crowd in New York really turned and kind of was cheering for him because he didn't give up, because he is a young fighter. I think he was 5th overall ranked out of Russia, so this is not the last we've heard of this new tennis young gun out of Russia. Good on Medvedev, but good on Nadal, number two. I think with this victory, he overtakes the Joker for number one in the world. And the commentators were talking about that's always a goal, along with winning majors, is to finish as number one tennis player in the world when the season ends. So, unfortunately, with Novak Djokovic's injury and having to withdraw, he didn't lose, he had to withdraw. Same thing. Nadal is moved into the world's number one. And if he can stay healthy, well, then he's going to collect as many wins as he can. And that's usually what happens. And then he gets hurt, and then someone passes him, and thus goes forward in U.S. men's U.S. Open and men's tennis. But again, congratulations on the women's side to Canadian Bianca Andreescu. Excellent, excellent, excellent performance. Yesterday was basically a shrine to her, but good on her for beating Serena in the final. If you've been living under a rock and did not hear that she was victorious over the weekend on Saturday over Serena Williams, we have a new darling in tennis, and her name is Bianca Andreescu. Number four. Are injuries a legitimate concern in NFL? Well, of course. You look at who went down in the first week, Tyreek Hill, not requiring surgery, but he's going to miss a few weeks. That is going to hurt the Chiefs a little, but being coached by Andy Reid and with so many weapons, I'm really not worried about the Kansas City Chiefs. Who you should be worried about are teams like Jacksonville Jaguars. Broken clavicle, Nick Foles is done. The Philly special, a clavicle being broken, I don't know if that's entire season ending, but I mean, that's throwing shoulder, super delicate. Tony Romo was talking about it in the game he was covering, which was the Cleveland game, but they showed the highlight, and he you know, was having flashbacks to when he fell, and when it's a shoulder injury like that and you're a quarterback, clavicle is very, very delicate. It's a gliding joint, so unfortunate. Injuries are going to happen. You just have to be lucky, really. You have to have depth, be lucky, and in order to stay healthy, there's only a certain amount of things that you can do to avoid injury. I mean, it's car crashes all over the place in any given NFL game, so you just basically have to hope that it's not too severe, that your player can rehab and come back. And you saw with Andrew Luck and Gronkowski how frustrating injuries can be. I mean, 29 years old, both of them retired from the sport because they were just sick of rehabbing. Number five, New England Patriots. Real deal, yes, they are. Let's not get too excited. about what happened on Sunday night. The Patriots have a depth that no other team other than arguably Kansas City has. At the wide receiver position, at the running back position, their secondary is good, their defense is strong, they're a better team than they were last year. So yes, they are the real deal. You guys know I'm a Patriots fan, so I'm not going to go on and on and on and talk about the brilliance of Bill Belichick and the immortal Tom Brady and the clutch Julian Edelman and how good Sony Michel is in the backfield and James White is catching passes, and they still have Burkhead on top of that. And then to add a guy like Antonio Brown, who's basically younger, better, not better, younger, and in a more peak of his career than when they got Randy Moss, and you saw what Brady did with him. So I just think if Josh Gordon can get his act together, I mean, the sky's the limit for this New England team. Again, let's not get too excited after week one, but if they stay healthy, you can just punch their ticket in the Super Bowl. I'm calling it right now that they will be on the AFC side. NFC side, I think Dallas Cowboys have a legitimate chance if Ezekiel can stay healthy and Dak Prescott, and if they stay healthy as well. That's what I'm calling on that side. Number six, how about them Cowboys? Well, let's pump the brakes a little bit. It was the New York Football Giants and Eli Manning that they drubbed over the weekend. It wasn't really, really close. Saquon Barkley, again, had a great game for the Giants, but the Giants choose to not give him the ball in their most clutch and biggest situations. As continued to be confused by that New York Giants team. Ingram looked great for them. Eli looked okay at times, you know, scrambling around. It was Eli, but let's not talk about the Football Giants. Let's talk about the Cowboys. Ezekiel looked terrific. Dak Prescott looked good. Aside from a couple of ticky-tack penalties and undisciplined penalties on the part of the Cowboys, their O-line looked good. Their D-line looks good. The Cowboys are stacked. Look out for Dallas. If they keep all their ducks in a row, Jerry's going to be a very, very happy man. They may even be able to, if they are able to come out and win a bunch of games early, they're going to stay healthy going into the playoffs. They're going to be a very, very dangerous team, despite having Jason Garrett at head coach. Yes, you heard it from me first, Jason Garrett as head coach. And all the QBs that they have, Kellen Moore is there now, and all kinds of other different quarterbacks. But how about them Cowboys? Let's not get too excited. But they are the real deal. And now that Ezekiel Elliott situation is resolved, well, then that's good news for them as well. Number seven. Major League Baseball has a Young Guns rookie class. Yes, they do. Who do you like? Oh, okay. Well, I looked at the Rookie of the Year race. And you've got guys like Pete Alonso in the National League. He's batting .269, but he's hit 45 home runs and has over 100 RBIs, 107, I think, when I checked over the weekend, which is amazing. And then everyone was also talking in San Diego. There was Fernando Tatis Jr. He's now on the 60-day DL. Oh, let's stick with the National League. In Cincinnati, the rookie sensation, get this name, folks, Aristides Aquino. This guy is amazing. He's got the open stance. He's got over 15 home runs already this year, 38 RBI, close to 40 RBIs. He only came in about halfway through the season, so he doesn't have good enough numbers in order to get Rookie of the Year. He may hit over 20 home runs, and he came in almost after the All-Star break. This guy's got the open stance. He's the real deal. He's a beast. So I don't think he's going to win it. I think it's going to go to Alonso, even though Alonso's only hitting .269. If that average dips a little more, it's not going to look great, but I think it's got to go Pete Alonso in the National League right now, just because injuries kind of helped him out. If you look on the American League side, there's a beast that's in left field for the Houston Astros that goes by the name of Yordan Alvarez. Air Yordan. He's hitting over 300 on the year, 306. He's got over 64 RBIs. He's got 22 home runs. And again, that's only in 250 at-bats. This guy didn't start the season off with this team. He may come out of nowhere and win the American League Rookie of the Year. Who's he going to beat? Well, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. started off hot, but he's only hitting .267. He's got 15 home runs, 60 RBIs. Vladdy's cooled off substantially after his big home run derby spectacle. Bo Bichette's came in. He's put up strong numbers, but again, it's too little too late for Bo, even though he's hitting over .312 in his first 150 at-bats. Bo set the record for the amount of doubles that you can hit as an upcoming rookie and just looked amazing. But these young guns are the real deal. And how about these names? Aristides Aquino, Yordan Alvarez, Pete Alonso. I mean, it is great. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. The young guns are firing and they are the future. I'm going to cut First and 10, we're taking a break. It's my segment. I can do what I want to. And we're going to listen to these guys hit some dingers. I've got one by the night that Aristides Aquino hit 3 home runs in one night. A feat also done by Yordan Alvarez in Houston this season. But I have Aquino's 3 home run night, followed by a night where Houston, this is back in July, where they went back to back to back. And Air Yordan hit their third one when they went triple. So you can hear the announcers. There's just something about play-by-play and baseball and hearing a home run leave the ballpark that is just magnificent. You can hear the crack of the bat. I can see it visually on the screen. It's a big blip that is the crack of the bat. So it's just amazing. So we're going to take a brief break from First and 10 here on question number 7 and 8. It's MLB rookie class. So we're in the middle. We've got 2 questions left, but we're going to take a brief break and listen to some dingers here on 88.9 CJMQ, The Cube.
Oh, yeah. Keep it up, my friend.
Oh, boy. As if on cue, did he get enough? His 5th home run in his first 10 games in a Reds uniform. Unbelievable. That is the most ever by a Cincinnati Reds player, Major League Baseball's oldest franchise.
I hope he hits 50 if he gets that home run call.
Yeah, I've been working on that a little bit. My son didn't like it. Well, I don't know, but the way he's going right now. First 10 games, and right now that's his second most in the history of Major League Baseball in the first 10 career games. Trevor Story in 16 hit 7 of them for the Rockies. Well, this is unbelievable. Oh gosh.
Ball's driven deep to left center field. Altuve up on the train tracks.
The tracks just below the World Series banner. Bregman high fly ball deep left field. Back to back jacks. Bregman follows it.
Something I missed from the last road trip.
We had a different camera angle in Anaheim, so we.
Oh, triple it up! Are you kidding me? Upper tank. Air Yordan goes deep, back to back to back, led by Altuve, followed by Bregman, and the big man makes it 3 in a row.
Oh man, how awesome is that? Yes, I did sneak Big Al in there. Little League World Series. He's Big Al. He likes to hit dingers. What do you want me to do? Number 9. Are the Colts okay without Andrew Luck? This was a back-and-forth game. They ended up losing in overtime to the Los Angeles Chargers. I have to be careful. They're not in San Diego anymore. They played in Carson, California. It looked very, very hot there. There was almost as many Colts fans as there were Chargers fans at that game. But that's not what we're talking about. Are the Colts going to be okay without Luck? They're not going to be as good. San Diego is depleted. They're still missing Melvin Gordon. But they still handled them. Beat them pretty handily. There was never really a moment where Phillip Rivers and San Diego seemed to be worried. And if a team like San Diego isn't going to give up and blow a victory, which they're famous for doing in the Phillip Rivers era, then your team is in trouble. I don't think Brissett T.Y. Hilton did what he could. They've got Marlon Mack, who was just running muck in the backfield. He had a huge monster run. He had over 111 yards in the second half alone. Those guys are great, but without Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett and Brian Hoyer aren't going to cut the mustard. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I tried to be behind them. I was on their bandwagon. I was cheering for them. I watched their game, and I just see too many shortcomings in the field. That defensively, offensively, and if that's the team that they're putting out there week one, once injuries hit, and if they get bit by the injury bug, it's going to get even worse. So, you Colts fans out there, don't listen to Jim Irsay. Don't listen to what everyone's saying. The Colts are in trouble. Andrew Luck, he kind of left you in a pickle. I don't know what that is. That was my Andrew Luck impression, I guess. Number 10, will Antonio Brown work in New England? Yes, he will. If anybody can work it out, it's Bill Belichick. Get him into New England. I think he's a football guy. I think he was just displeased when he went to the Raiders to begin with, the way that everything went down when he left the Steelers. I think he's been unhappy for a while, and this is his last chance. He's been in the news, Hard Knocks. He's just been all over the news. So if he reforms himself, comes out, has a great season, well, then all kinds of teams will be lining up for his services at the end of this year. It's a one-year contract. You know, if you have a certain amount of talent, then it kind of outweighs the amount of crazy that you have. You can be crazier if you're more talented. So, you know, the patience that a team or an organization will have for you, they'll have a lot more patience if your skill level exceeds the amount of trouble that you bring. But, I mean, at a certain point, if he gets shipped out of New England, and New England, they're cold and callous. If it's not going to work out, they're just going to cut him and they're just going to say goodbye, and then that'll be the end of them. So there you have it. Good luck, Antonio Brown. You and Josh Gordon, if everybody can just behave and concentrate on football. If Tom Brady and Edelman can't keep you in line, nobody can. So best of luck. Yes, I think it's going to work out. Yes, I do think it's going to work out, but we shall see. That ends our first and 10 segment for today here on 88.9. Just around the corner, we're going to be talking some Rugby World Cup. My titanium take. So that Rugby World Cup again, September 20th to November the 2nd from Japan in 2019. So, of course, you've got New Zealand is the number one ranked team going in. There's Australia. There's all kinds of other teams. We're going to talk some Australian rules, football, footy, rugby, whatever. The best thing about New Zealand is the haka. So as we take a brief musical interlude, I'm going to take you to the break with some of the most intimidating pregame ritual rituals that you're ever going to see. And this is the haka by the All Blacks, the New Zealand team, and they all line up in unison and perform this ceremonial and traditional chant / dance, and it is the most intimidating thing, especially by these rugby players. Rugby players are the toughest of the tough. You see the size of these guys, they're not wearing any pads. We're in the NFL, you know, Antonio Brown's arguing about his helmet invisibility. I mean, these guys have tiny little headbands. Their ears are all cauliflowered. Their fingers are all broken and scarred and mangled, and they're all just taped up. They're bleeding. They're bruised. Their noses are running. Their lips are all bloody. Tim, I went full Tim the Toolman Taylor. So here, without further ado, before we take the half-hour break here on this edition of the show, we have the New Zealand All Blacks and their pregame ritual, the haka, here on 88.9 CJMQ The Cube. This is the show.
Down we are!
Welcome back to the show, your home for sports talk in the Eastern Townships. This is 88.9, and I'm your host, Matt McRae. As we make that turn around the half hour, we're in the final 30-minute home stretch of the show. We're going to take me home up a little bit, and we're just going to review what happened here in Lenoxville for the Bishop's University athletes. So the men's rugby team was victorious, 24-15 being the final score for the men's rugby team, the Bishop's University Gators. Switching to lacrosse, BU Gators were victorious on the 7th, winning 13-6 against the GGs of Ottawa, but then unfortunately were on the wrong end of a 5-8 score, losing at lacrosse to the Trent Excalibur. The women's rugby, the Lady Gators, on September the 8th, unfortunately, they lost 45-21. That was against Concordia. And sticking with the Lady Gators, women's soccer, on the 6th of September, the Lady Gators were victorious 2-1 against the Concordia Stingers. So again, the football program, the Bishop's University Gators football program, were losers also on Friday night. The game moved up due to the hurricane. Coming in, they were 30-13 losers in a turnover fest. So there's your Bishop's University news of the week. And before we conclude that, we are going to address the athletes of the week. One Mr. Tyler Murphy was announced the BU athlete of the week.
Tyler Murphy!
He, of course, is Tyler the Converter on the men's rugby program. Also, big shout out to Lindsay Moore of the women's soccer team, bringing home the athlete of the week on the ladies' side. So big Tyler Murphy the Converter.
Tyler Murphy!
With a little bit of local flavor there, seeing he's from the Bromisquagua region up around Mansonville, those Knowlton kind of area. Anyways, big shout out to the male and female athletes of the week from Bishop's University. Now that's going to take us into, I know, we're getting late in the show and we haven't heard David Guetta yet, have we? No. Well, hit my music for the Titanium Take of the Townships.
I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose.
Hey, Sabraus. Oh, I love that tune. Well, today's Titanium Take of the Townships. Are you ready? Hold on to your hat. It's a controversial one. NFL football season just getting back in full swing. CFL is just coming into their playoffs, I think. I don't know. But there's something else coming up that I want everyone to pay particular attention to. I've already mentioned it a couple times in the last couple shows. It's the Rugby World Cup, September 20th to November the 2nd, live from Japan, 2019. My hot take, my hard take of the Eastern Townships today is that rugby is better than football. Hey, maybe Tyler Murphy will agree with me.
Tyler Murphy!
Tyler the Converter.
Tyler Murphy!
I've been to Australia. I've witnessed some of the Aussie rules, kind of rugby, Aussie football, 16 on 16. It is insane. Now, these guys, they play with less pads than football players. So already the stakes are higher physically. I mean, there must be more injuries. You see the cauliflowered ears, they constantly have bloodied faces and black eyes and they're nicked up and they're just these huge tanks. They're really, really tough. But also defending my argument is that rugby players have to do so much more. They have to be versatile. They're on the field. They're expected to play offense, play defense, work in scrums. I mean, don't talk to me about rugby. I have very little experience playing it. I was 5'3", 110 pounds soaking wet with a brick in my pocket until I was 17 years old. And then after that, let's just say I had a growth spurt, but I wasn't that much bigger. So I never really played rugby. I've watched it. I've been to Australia. I've seen the Aussie rules rugby. I've watched a lot here at Bishop's University with the Abernathy here as well in Sherbrooke. That men's program is fantastic. I've seen them play. These are mammoth human beings. They're tough upon tough. They're expected to think a lot more than football players are. If you're an offensive lineman in football or you're on the defensive line, your job is to shove the other guy in front of you around. You're either going to block him or get through him. You're basically playing a high stakes game of Red Rover, Red Rover. So my take of the Townships is a short one today, but just with this new Rugby World Cup that's coming on, just look at the plays that are drawn up, the way their defensive schemes are. Watch New Zealand, watch the All Blacks play. They are the tough of the tough. Now, there's a cerebral kind of assassin mentality needed in rugby. You need to be defensive while offensive. You need to know when to take the hits. You need to know how to spread people out. Not, listen to me, I really don't know that much about rugby. If people are yelling at their radios right now because you're a rugby player, well, maybe you agree with me. I don't know. If you're a football player, maybe you disagree with me. I don't care, frankly. So my titanium take of the township is that the sport of rugby is actually more difficult. You have to be tougher. You have to be bigger, stronger, faster, smarter, more cerebral, more concentrated. You have to take better instructions from your coach. It is all-round better game. I've lived with my former roommate back in the day was a rugby coach, and I was just beyond impressed with the strategic kind of level that goes into the sport of rugby. The injuries that they deal with, many players are playing with injuries, they play through injuries. The physio is just as busy as anybody else on there. So big shout out to any rugby player. Give it a watch, the World Cup of Rugby. I mean, Canada were ranked 21 in the world, USA's 13th, New Zealand is number one. Australia, they're trying to catch them. They did beat the New Zealand team, but their roster changes all the time. If it really is the All Blacks number one, they're world class. They're the best in the world, and their pre-game ceremony with the haka is amazing as well. So my titanium take of the townships today, rugby is better than football, folks. Hey, shoot me down. I don't care. I'll get right back up. It's titanium. David Guetta, he says so in the song. See, it says so right in the song. Hit my music. 88.9 CJMQ. The show. I'm bulletproof. Nothing to lose. Fire away. Ricochet, you take your aim, far away, shoot me down, bow my bow, I am titanium.
How good is that? He's the king of the hill, the top six, three, of the five, heap, seven,
four, six,
and
six,
the U.S. Open champion.
Welcome back, and that soundbite was from Rafa Nadal becoming the U.S. Open men's champion over the weekend. Now being moved to number one in the world, I think surpassing Novak Djokovic and one behind Roger Federer now. I think he's at 19 now for majors, so he's got a little more breathing room behind the 32-year-old Serbian Djokovic, but he's still one behind Federer, saying he doesn't count those majors, and it's just a big deal being ranked number one in the world. I don't know, Nadal-Federer, that rivalry continues. Man, does he grunt a lot when he plays some tennis, though. Nadal, I mean, you almost have to turn the TV down. I mean, you heard it there in the clip. It's, he's just constantly, as he's making contact with the tennis ball. Anyways, congratulations to him capturing yet another U.S. Open men's title. And I know it's been all week, the news of the talk of the town, Bianca Andreescu, the Canadian sweetheart. She was on Regis and Kelly. I don't know, it's not called Regis and Kelly. I guess it's Live with Ryan and Kelly now, I guess. Not to date myself at all, but she's doing the circuit. She's got the trophy. She's doing the interviews. She's on top of all everyone's highlight packages here. It's everyone saying one of the biggest Canadian victories, not only in tennis, but in the last 10, 20 years, Toronto Raptors winning. I mean, there weren't very many Canadians actually on that. So an actual Canadian being only 19 years old, the future is so bright. We got to wear shades. Oh, I got a better one. I bet you she has to wear sunglasses at night. Corey Hart? You know what? That's the fun part about doing this. I kind of feel like listening to Corey Hart right now. Good old Canadian boy. I mean, why not? It's my show. I can do what I want to. Ha! I'm sorry. Okay, so we're going to take a musical interlude. Let's go throw back to a Canadian. Mr. Corey Hart, this one's going out to 19-year-old Canadian tennis sweetheart and U.S. Open women's champion, Bianca Andreescu, here on 88.9 CJMQ The Cube. This is The Show. ¶¶ Oh, God, I'm getting flashbacks. Whew, not to date myself too much, but I can just recall that song blaring from my older sister's bedroom along with Bon Jovi. Yeah, so there you have it. Some Corey Hart going out to U.S. Open Women's Champion Bianca Andreescu. Congratulations to Rafa Nadal over the weekend as well. The weekend that was, we're just kind of reviewing it here on Hump Day on 88.9 on your radio dial FM. So we're going to have a little throwback clip right now. We talked about earlier the 40th anniversary of ESPN. And I think the best one going right there now is Scott Van Pelt. Even yesterday's show, I played a clip of Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann, the 4.5 years they combined together to form the Big Show, which just revolutionized the way that everybody does sports highlights, covers sports, arguably on the Mount Rushmore of not only ESPN, but just sports coverage. So Scott Van Pelt had them back in the studio, and on his show, they did a reunion show. You can see it. They were doing highlights again. They called the baseball. They even reviewed their favorites of the ESPN television commercials that they did, which is part of the reason that we still remember them today. Here in Canada, not so much, but if you were in the States or if you were fortunate enough to have ESPN, not only the effect it had on TSN, because the trickle-down effect, TSN wouldn't be in existence if it wasn't for ESPN or RDS or anything like that. So if you were lucky enough to be able to catch these guys giving the sports highlights, they just their cadence, their use of pop culture, music, ancient references. Keith Olbermann is political as well. They kind of snuck that past their bosses and the hello. And they're just second to none. So we're going to play a clip today of Scott Van Pelt on his show. So you hear Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick at the end just kind of addressing it. They leave it open-ended in Soprano style and just black out. And you're also just going to hear Van Pelt talking about what they mean to the covering of sports, to SportsCenter, and even what ESPN itself means to the coverage of sports in the 2019, in the year that is 2019, now that he's been there for 20 years. So we'll throw it to that clip here on the halfway hour of the backside of the show. I'm your host, Matt McRae. You've been a wonderful listener. We'll be back right after this clip here on the show.
I try to explain this place to people, and it's difficult if you've never seen it. Somehow we've become this ubiquitous presence in your life, for some of it, maybe all of it, on in the corner of the bar, or your dorm, or your bedroom when you go to sleep, or your kitchen in the morning when you're getting up to get the kids off to school. Sometimes passively consuming, sometimes intently, or as Kenny Mayne has often said, we're background noise for sex. God, I hope not. Mood killer right here, no good. For 40 years, thousands of men and women have come to work 24/7, 365. Keith Olbermann described us as factory workers in a factory town in Brian Curtis's Ringer article this week about the Big Show. Glamorous? No, not really, but there's value in the work, and we put it in to earn and maintain the relationship that we have with you. I remember driving home after a show as a blizzard was arriving, and it was supposed to be a big one. The governor had banned all non-essential vehicles from the roads. A cop pulls up beside me on Route 84, and I just gave him a look and a shrug. He smiled, nodded. The show must go on. We can't exactly run bars in tone because there's some snow in the forecast. Every day's different. Most of them are a lot of fun. But nights like these, they're more than a little surreal. Because Dan and Keith, they weren't just a show. They were the Big Show. The yardstick the rest of us are judged by even now, and none of us really measure up. Any of us who came after stand on the shoulders of what they accomplished. It's why the very first guest we had on this version of SportsCenter was Dan. But Dan and Keith stood on the shoulders of so many others too. Grand and Mies, Berman and Lee, Gumbel, Marciano, Leonard, and on, the originals who built the joint. They planted a tiny little acorn and it grew into this mighty oak. Who knew? Certainly nobody then could have imagined the place this network would carve out in the zeitgeist. It's been said often, and it's worth it every time, that for every one of us you see, there have been hundreds behind the scenes, and all of them, past and present, are the place. They have been the fuel that makes the engine go, and it requires a staggering amount of energy and commitment to do so. Because one show ends and the tease for another is rolling, which means a camera is getting a shot, and a director is calling out cues, and one of us says, hello and welcome. It never really ends. Holidays and weekends often aren't, but in no way is this a sob story. We're not cops or teachers. We're servicemen. It's not some noble undertaking, honestly. We're a cable TV station in the middle of a small town in Connecticut that somehow became what it is, which is why, if you've never seen it, it's hard to explain. I will walk out tonight into the darkness in a mostly deserted parking lot of a town that went to sleep hours ago. I'll drive down an empty highway home, and I often wonder two things. Is all of this a ruse? I mean, are the cameras even on? Is any of this stuff plugged in? And I'll wonder how the hell it is that I get to be the one who does this at ESPN, my home, going on 20 years as they celebrate 40. And I will know a couple of things. I'm proud. It's my home. And I'm honored to call these men and women my colleagues.
I also wanted to thank the viewers. I wanted to have a nice thank you in memory of our dear friend Tom Meese, who meant so much to both Dan and myself, and of course to my tag team partner. Nothing will ever be the same again. Thank you for everything. Thank you for teaching me how to do this, and shut up.
Should I say something nice about you now?
If you can, 3 seconds.
Very fortunate to work with the most talented person in this business. He's now a newsman now, and I have one final word for him. Gone.
22 years later, here we sit. And I get the whole bit about Led Zeppelin. I do, and not wanting to do a reunion tour. But people, I'm sure, enjoy hearing the first few notes of Stairway to Heaven and knowing that you can still do it. I'm curious what you think about, you know.
What, about more of this?
Yeah, you know.
I'm doing this thing on every Monday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, yeah, okay, you tell management the hell with it. All right, oh, no, I didn't dare you to do that. Okay.
I was going to say, I'd take my cues from you. I'm sitting next to the guy that wrote the book.
It was good.
Wasn't this enough, though?
No, it was fun. But, you know, the more I started thinking about it, you know what we should do?
What are you thinking about?
I think that we should announce right now that we should...
Tom Murphy!
Keep it up, my friend.
Oh, boy. As if on cue, did he get enough? He's done it again! Steve Aquino!
Welcome back. As we come into the closing twilight hours of this edition of the show, I thank you very much for joining me for another roller coaster ride that was of a show. I mean, NFL football has kicked off. The New England Patriots look as strong as ever. Antonio Brown still needs to get added to the mix. His agent came out and said that there was no collusion. There was nothing. He didn't get himself out of Oakland on purpose. He said it all just happened naturally and organically. I mean, he's an NFL sports agent, so take that for as much as it's worth, which is probably negative amounts of money. But anyways, the New England Patriots, let's not get too excited about them. They're just a couple of injuries away from being equal with everybody else, but they are head and shoulders above the rest. The Kansas City Chiefs defense looks suspect, but their offense does look amazing. Baltimore Ravens, let's pump the brakes a bit. They were playing the Miami Dolphins. Vikings did look good. Cowboys looked good. There was a few other good stories, feel-good stories from around the NFL in the week that was. And here we are, we're Wednesday. So, boom, kickoff tomorrow, the Thursday night football. Which, I mean, short rest like that, that's tough for any team. Once you get all the travel and everything implemented into it, week one and week two, it's not such a big deal. But I can imagine it's a huge deal for players come week 10, 11, 12, later on in the schedule. I'm just not a fan of the Thursday night football, but I am a fan of watching it. So, week two is, as the dust kind of settles on the week that was, we're going to take one more brief musical interlude. We're going to listen to Magic with Rude, and then I'll come back to close it out for you here on 88.9 CJMQ, The Cube.
Saturday morning, jumped out of bed and put on my best suit. Got in my car and raced like a jet. All the way to you. Knocked on your door with heart in my head to ask you a question. Cause I know that you're an old-fashioned man. Yeah. Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? Say yes, cause I need to know. You say I'll never get your blessing till the day I die. Tough luck, my friend, but the answer is choice. Can't live without her. Love me or hate me, we will be boys.
That closes out another edition. That was Rude by Magic. I have been your host, Matt McRae. You have been a wonderful listener out there in the Eastern Townships. Take care of yourself and each other. Enjoy all the sports out there. Enjoy the autumn season. Enjoy the fall. Enjoy each other. Go Gators. Go Patriots. Go Canadians. Go Red Sox. Go everyone. Go Joe.